We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game. Come on!
Good morning. Happy Thursday. It is 5 a.m. Happy to hear that music on this Thursday morning. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, so I was just trying to do the math in my head before we came back in here because I wanted to try and at least give you the exact hour we are away from this 49ers and Vikings game on the Saturday, and I totally ended up botching it because I just thought of it. So I'm going to go. We are a solid 48 and a half hours away. That's not even close. Good morning. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show. Chilton Auto Body text line 957-95-888-957-9570. If you want to get in on the conversation, and by the way, it is about what are we going to go with, Curly? Like what, with 53 and a half hours away? I think that would be the math. Yeah, 53, no. 55 and a half hours? Not even going to try anymore. Chilled out of my text line 95795. Got a lot I want to get into today. Had some news from Robert Saleh yesterday that I think some 49er fans are going to find a little questionable. The 49er fans have been on a certain player for the past couple of games, and that certain player they expected to be benched on Saturday. Well, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Emmanuel Sanders, he is going to be our interview of the day. He's coming up at about 5:40, 5:35, 5:40. Depends on which time. I might go 5:35, I might go 5:40. It all depends. Jimmy Garoppolo, there have been some comments on him from Chris Sims. I want to get into those, but I do want to start with the Witherspoon news. What I want to know from you, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, with Akello Witherspoon. Now, we figured, look, he gave up four touchdowns in two games. And we saw that one that we gave up to DK Metcalf, and then in the second half, he was benched against the Seahawks. So we just all assumed that it was the end for Akello Witherspoon. But now, I mean, we figured, look, they're going to have Emmanuel Mosley start, and they're just going to take their chances with him. But now Robert Saleh spoke to the media yesterday, and you had Akello Witherspoon saying to the media also that he's going to start. But Robert Saleh said this about Akello Witherspoon.
Honestly, when you look at it from on the surface level, it's very easy to see. It's easy, right? There's Akello. There's a guy catching the football. But people don't really understand what happened for that to happen. They don't understand whether or not somebody actually busted for, and he may have been making up for somebody and shouldn't have been there in the first place. So there's a Akello actually, when you go back and look at that tape, played a pretty good football game. There was a couple of situations where he got caught in a bad situation. And so either way, his ability to go just put those to bed and compete his tail off will always define whether or not he can finish and play games at his best. But to say he played a poor game against Seattle would be, I'll be honest with all of you, it'd be inaccurate.
And then when he was asked why they benched him, Robert Saleh just said, "That's going to stay in-house. I'm not even going to tell you that." But in that sound clip, he basically said, look, what you're seeing on the surface right now is not really what's going on within the game. And I have a major quarrel with a lot of that. There's a lot of not with what Robert Saleh said, but with how us fans view a lot of what goes on defense. Now, on offense, you could see the mistakes that are being made. You can easily tell, like, it's so much easier, like Saleh said, on a surface level to understand what's going on offense. Jimmy Garoppolo should have made that a better throw. Deebo Samuel should have made that catch. Kendrick Bourne should have made that catch. This offensive lineman should have made that block. Mike Person should have made that block. Lakin Tomlinson should have made that block. Joe Staley missed out on that block on the run. That could have broken out for a big gain had he made that block. There are aspects of offense that are pretty obvious to the naked eye, but on defense, there is a lot going on that we really do not understand. Some do, but as a general fan, it's so easy to pick on one player, especially like Akello Witherspoon, when all these touchdowns happen, and it just so happens that the four receiving touchdowns in the past two games from opposing teams, they're on Akello Witherspoon's side. But also, we don't know whether it should have been Akello Witherspoon covering that guy in the first place. So now, on Saturday, it looks as though we are going to see Akello Witherspoon get the start, and that's going to be either up against Adam Thielen or Stephon Diggs. Now, Stephon Diggs, he's been out for he was out in practice again with an illness, so that's the second day in a row that he's been out. However, Mike Zimmer says he'll be fine, as well as this kind of thing.
Hey, Vikings fans, I'll see you in San Francisco. Now let's go get it.
Man, he sounds stoked. Stoked for Vikings fans. But no, so Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen is limited. He hurt his ankle in practice as well. So you're getting two wide receivers. You don't know if they're going to be fully healthy. They still got to travel here. I believe they're doing that today, if I'm not mistaken. They are supposed to arrive in San Jose today, get another day tomorrow and practice in, and then you head to the stadium on Saturday. That was according to Peter King, who was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. But I want to know from you, Chilton Autobody text line 95795, are you surprised by this move? Do you want Akello Witherspoon to actually get the start here? Because to me, it's crazy how quickly we turned on Akello Witherspoon. In the first 4 weeks before he got hurt, he was known as the best defensive back on this team. You didn't know Sherman was going to have the Pro Bowl season that he's having, the second-team All-Pro type season that Sherman's having. But at that point in time on this team, you thought Akello Witherspoon was the most talented corner on this roster. And he actually had a pretty good rookie season, too. So you know the guy has it, but then he just goes out with an injury for quite a few weeks for an extended period of time and comes back and doesn't really look the same. And at that point, everyone's saying bench Witherspoon, and bring in Emmanuel Mosley. And Emmanuel Mosley, he's tough. He doesn't exactly have the size advantage, but you know he can actually at least be a tackling corner. But also, the reason that the Falcons were able to just go to Julio Jones time after time on the road, by the way, the Falcons being on the road over at Levi's. Not making that mistake again. But the reason they were able to go to Emmanuel Mosley time after time is because Julio Jones had that size advantage. And if Emmanuel Mosley's in the game, they're going to be putting either Adam Thielen or Stephon Diggs on him because they both are pretty tall wide receivers. So I think that this is actually the right move. I think you might as well take your chances. But I do want to know from you, Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Also, this is a time, though, when Robert Saleh, not only does he prove, he's proven schematically that he can be a head coach and that he's a great defensive coordinator, but this is the time where this is where we put our faith in the defensive coordinator to know what he's talking about, depending on who he puts out there. I know that you want to make the call, you want to act like your judgment is the right one. But it's kind of how I feel with how Giants fans are viewing what Farhan Zaidi's doing, even though he's hiring a bunch of coaches that you might not have heard of, a bunch of younger up-and-comers. Well, not even up-and-comers, just younger guys who he feels like are up-and-comers. You just have to have faith in Zaidi and what he's going to do. So right now with Robert Saleh and him making the decision on whether he's going to start Akello Witherspoon or start Emmanuel Mosley, you got to trust him in this process. That's what you got to do. And if you're not okay with it, then okay, you got to see how it plays out. But this is clearly the move that Robert Saleh thinks that needs to be made. Chilton Autobody text line 95795 from the 408. Spoon needs to be benched, gave up too much, and looks like he's scared to land a hit on a receiver. From the 408, the thing I want to know is how many times another DB has had to make up blown coverage by Witherspoon. From the 650, I don't need to understand the inner workings of defensive schemes to think, hey, Witherspoon is playing soft and flat. Yeah, but also it's the communication factor, right? You should understand what goes on just before the play even happens. You should know, like to make a proper judgment on how these guys on defense are playing, you need to understand their roles. And I don't think a lot of us really do, besides like guys like, you know, Lo Neal, who could come up and probably explain the tendencies of Akello Witherspoon versus Emmanuel Mosley and how these defenses are looking at it. But I do believe that you need to understand everything in order to truly evaluate a defense. And there are very few players – there's not very few, but there are very few players, I guess. I guess very few would be the right term there, that actually show that they are confused and they're not good. And they're, you know, you could see guys on defense pointing at them, yelling at them, telling them, like, look, you made the wrong play. You blew your coverage, whatever. Like for instance, let's look at Jalen Ramsey versus Taylor Rapp. You could have told you saw on the field on that 3rd and 16 on that blown coverage on that pass to Emmanuel Sanders that it was Taylor Rapp who made the wrong play, and then Jalen Ramsey ended up going out and calling him out to the media, which he didn't really need to do because Taylor Rapp's still a rookie, and Jalen Ramsey, if he's going to be there for the long haul, doesn't need to do that. But I just think that there's a lot more that goes into defense that meets the naked eye, and clearly Robert Saleh sees something in Akello Witherspoon that we don't. We don't. And from the 972, didn't Metcalf eat both Witherspoon and Mosley? I think because we're seeing the drop-off in pass rush is the issue. That could be one also. That could be one too. Because in the first 4 weeks, we talked about I talked about how Akello Witherspoon looked like the most talented defensive back on this team. But also, the pass rush was getting to the quarterback more than any other time during the season that I can think of. I need to pull up this stat, by the way. I read off this this one on third down from a couple of days ago, and so there was a stat here that came out about how the 49ers and the Vikings are number one and number two in terms of converting third down with passing. So if they pass on third down, the Niners are completing 45.5% of their third downs, or converting 45.5% of those third downs that they pass on, while the Vikings are converting, I believe, 43 or 44. I actually got to get that exact number, but anyway, that's beside the point. They're both really good at passing on third down to convert for first down. Now the 49ers, their defense on third down, they faced 193 plays total, 193 third downs. And of those 193, the 49ers sacked the quarterback 22 times. So that was out of 193 third downs, 22 times. But on first and second down, they faced a combined 750 first and second down plays. On those 750 plays, the 49ers sacked the quarterback 24 total times. 24 times out of 750 first and second down plays, compared to 22 out of 193 on third down. That's crazy that they only got two more in about what? I mean, almost a fourth of the plays? It's crazy. It's crazy. Chilton Autobody text line 95795, 888-957-9570. If you want to get in on the conversation, I do want to ask, though, which player? Now, we've talked about Kyle Shanahan and how his entire the reason that he's so successful is because he puts guys in the best positions to show their talents and showcase their talents, whether it be Deebo Samuel on these little end-around plays, or Kyle Juszczyk just being able to use him any way he wants, George Kittle not using him like your average tight end, he made Emmanuel Sanders into a quarterback at one point. But I do want to know from you, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, which player do you feel like Kyle Shanahan has played to the strength of the best this season? And I mean, who do you feel like on this offense just goes hand in hand with Kyle Shanahan and what he's doing? You might not be able to see him do this with any other offense just because Kyle Shanahan isn't running things. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, whether it be George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, Debo Samuel, Jimmy Garoppolo, could that be one? Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, all the running backs. Who on offense do you feel like Kyle Shanahan plays best to the strength of? Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game. 5 a.m.? This is the time I'm going to be reading your text. You are my co-host, Chilton Auto Body text line. At 95795, no one in sports radio reads the text line more than I do. And no one in radio botches the word radio like I do. Chill out by the text line 95795. I do want to know from you, like, there's something that Kyle Shanahan does, and that's what he plays to everyone's strengths. He puts everyone in a position, at least on the offense, he puts everyone in a position to be successful. He whether it's, you know, having Kyle Juszczyk and handing the ball off to him, but then pitching it out to Raheem Mostert in that Saints game, whether it be running that play-action pass with George Kittle in that Packers game where he just threw a 65-yard, where Jimmy Garoppolo threw a 65-yard bomb to a wide-open George Kittle, and not many offensive coordinators could scheme a tight end open like that and also have a tight end he can get open like that. Debo Samuel. In pretty much any touchdown that he's had this season, it feels like it was just schematically drawn up perfectly from Kyle Shanahan. I do want to know from you on the Chilton Auto Body text line, which guy on this offense do you feel like Kyle Shanahan is used to his advantage the most? And by that, I mean, do you feel like Debo Samuel could be doing what he's doing if he was with any other coach? Do you think any of these other coaches would know how to run Debo Samuel like how to use Debo Samuel like they've been using him? Do you think they know that? Do you think that any other Kyle Juszczyk would be able to perform on any other team like he does with the 49ers, like he does with Kyle Shanahan? I do want to know that from you. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. But one for me that goes unnoticed, and you got to give a lot of credit to John Denton too, who's one of the coaches here. I don't want to give away what type of coach, but I'm going to do it anyway. He is the offensive line coach, John Denton. You got to give some credit to him too. But how Kyle Shanahan has been able to just, I don't want to say get away with, but he's at least, he hasn't got an interior line that stands out. Lakin Tomlinson and Mike Person, they're not known as these all-pro guards. Weston Richburg, they paid a lot of big money to, but also Ben Garland has come in his stead. So you've got this interior line, which not many people expect a lot out of. And sure, pass blocking and going one-on-one and stuff, that comes hand in hand with having an offensive line, which really isn't supposed to be that great. But on a majority of these plays, it's very hard for these interior linemen to execute it. And so I think that he's playing to their strengths. And the last play that showed me that was the Debo Samuel touchdown from this last game against the Seahawks. And that was where they faked it as if Kyle Juszczyk was running to the right, and they had Lakin Tomlinson pull across the quarterback, and then they both switched sides and then ran across the field and blocked for Debo Samuel for a touchdown. Like That's the thing, he manages to just do these things with these guys, which I don't know if there'd be many offensive coordinators, head coaches, that'd be able to do that type of stuff. So for me, it'd be the interior offensive line. I do want to know from you on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. And from the 925 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, this is from the last segment that I just mentioned. If they play Witherspoon, they won't go to the Super Bowl. That guy is just garbage. Look, if you think he's garbage, then fine. But I'm sorry 925, I don't trust your word more than I trust Robert Saleh's.
I'll be honest, when you look at it from on the surface level, it's very easy to see. It's easy, right? There's a Kello, there's a guy catching the football, but people don't really understand what happened for that to happen. They don't understand whether or not somebody actually busted for, and he may have been making up for somebody and shouldn't have been there in the first place. So there's a Kello actually, when you go back and look at that tape, played a pretty good football game. There was a couple of situations where he got caught in a bad situation. And so either way, his ability to go just put those to bed and compete his tail off will always define whether or not he can finish and play games at his best. But to say he played a poor game against Seattle would be, I'll be honest with all of you, it'd be inaccurate.
So to us, this just proves to me why sometimes as sports fans, we're so hell-bent on being right about everything and being just confident in what we say and, you know, oh, this player's trash, this player's garbage, which if you were listening to Bonte Steine and Guru a couple of days ago, some caller called a player trash, and he's like, I don't like that, and I'm the same way. I mean, these guys are professionals in the end, so they're not really trash or garbage. But the thing is, though, we don't listen too much to a lot of these guys. Now, sometimes there are situations where we need to read between the lines and don't listen to what they say, but this isn't one of those situations. This is a situation where Robert Saleh is telling you clear as day, look, I don't think Akello had as bad of a game as you think that he did. Now, it's easy to say, yeah, all right, four touchdowns in two games, and Akello Witherspoon was on the receiving end of all of them. Okay, fine, but there's other stuff that goes on within the defense that we don't understand, so sometimes we need to just sit back and listen. That's all I'm saying. And from the 510, Witherspoon played worse against the Rams. Everyone played bad against the Rams. How do you expect, like, what do you expect from every corner when there isn't a pass rush and Jared Goff is just running wild and you got quick guys like Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp? That just throws a lot of things off. That throws everything off. And not only, Akello Witherspoon might have played poorly, but also they were missing Jaquiski Tartan that time. And that's a situation where you need your strong safety to communicate sometimes to the secondary what's going on. And from the 510, so why bench Witherspoon? Not making the case to bench Witherspoon. Robert Saleh says that Akello Witherspoon says he fully expects to start on Saturday. And so when Robert Saleh was asked about it, he said that to say he had a bad game against the Seahawks would be inaccurate. So it's looking like Akello Witherspoon is going to get the start. It's not 100% yet, but it's looking more and more that way. It might depend on how these next couple of practices go. But all in all, I think right now, if you're going to look at it, Akello Witherspoon could be getting the start. And also, look, it's a gamble that Robert Saleh is willing to make. And if he makes a mistake, so be it. He might have to bench Witherspoon after halftime again, like he did against the Seahawks. But there's just something. There's just something about what Robert Saleh is saying there where we got to listen. And it's why I was so fascinated with the Eric Armstead situation. It's because, you know, we're looking at his contract year, his increased number of sacks, and we're saying immediately that, oh, Eric Armstead's just performing because he's trying to get that money, which could be true. But then Robert Saleh comes out early, like toward the end of the season, a few weeks ago, I can't remember which week it was, but he came out and when he was asked about Eric Armstead, it was after his four-tackle game, and he was asked about Eric Armstead, and he said that, look, he's the most violent player on this defensive line. He's the most violent guy. Now, I don't know if, I mean, I could look at it like, look, he's just trying to prop him up, he's just trying to build up his player, but just to say that a guy's the most violent on a defensive line that includes guys like DeForest Buckner and Nick Bosa, there's something to be said there. There's something to be said. And so anytime Robert Saleh really speaks, I listen. I don't know what it is. He's very endearing also. You ever watch his press conferences? Seems like such a nice guy. Chilton Autobody text line 95795 from the 619. Coaches are coaches for a reason and fans don't get paid for a reason. Exactly. And I think a thing we have an issue with is that we're so just... We want to be right so bad, and we want to be the GMs, right? We want to be the coaches, but really, these guys know so much more than us, and if they make a decision which proves to be wrong, then we can react to it. Then we can react. But right now, he's saying that, look, he didn't play as bad as in Week 17 as you guys thought he did. I'm probably going to be giving him the start. Akello Witherspoon says that he expects to start this Saturday. So that's where we're at right now. Now, if he makes the wrong decision, we can react to it and see how it might have affected the game. But going into it, let's not already plug it as the wrong decision. Let's not already make it a bad move by Robert Saleh. Oh, Saleh doesn't know what he's doing. I know what I'm doing. Let's just have a little faith. Have a little faith in the guy who's about to be getting a head coaching job next season. And when he was asked, by the way, I don't have the audio here, but when he was asked about the Browns head coaching job and then coming in for an interview, he said, with all due respect, I just want to focus on the Vikings. I just want to focus on the Vikings. He doesn't want to take any attention away from what's to come up on Saturday because he understands that coming up at 1:35 at Levi Stadium is the biggest game in Levi Stadium history for the 49ers. I mean, you could put WrestleMania as the biggest sporting event in history at Levi's Stadium, but yeah, that's just me. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 from the 650. Bro, the coaches just spit cliche stuff out in the pressers. Can't take anything from them for the most part. They're not going to talk down to their players, but that's not cliche stuff. Cliche stuff is what they say after the game with, you know, the other team's a great team and they really, you know, we played our hardest. They played more aggressive. They just wanted it more than we did. This guy telling you, the fan, I really think he's speaking to you. Whoever says Akello Witherspoon has been playing trash, Robert Saleh is speaking to you directly here and saying, I think anyone who says that he hasn't been playing well, or at least didn't play well in Week 17, I think that's inaccurate. That's not cliche stuff. That's not normal coaching cliche stuff. Believe me. I love coaching cliches. They're the best. But that's not the type of cliche thing that you're talking about. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888-957-9570. So I do want to continue to take your texts and take your calls if anyone wants to call this early in the morning. But Emmanuel Sanders was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday, and that will be our interview of the day. That'll be coming up at about, I'm going to go with 5:37 here. 5:37. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game. From the Chilled Not a Body text line at 95795, you're going to hear from Emmanuel Sanders in about a minute. But from the 408, okay, I'm a little confused. Are you for Witherspoon or against him? I understood why he got benched in that Seahawks game, but also I didn't see anything much from Emmanuel Mosley, even in the past couple of games where a Witherspoon was out and you know, Emmanuel Mosley was in against the Falcons, I didn't see much from him either, so I'm with putting Akello Witherspoon in, and if Robert Saleh is the one that's saying, look, if, I think in Week 17 to say he had a bad game would be inaccurate, then I'm right there with him. I'm going to be with him, and then there's another text here on the Chilton Auto Body text line that says, hang on, there's one. I lost it. Where are you? Okay. From the 650. All right, Stephen. Well, when you're wrong, I'm going to be listening on Monday so that you can go on the air and say that you were wrong about this move. Okay, I'm willing to die on that hill. But also, if they do lose, I don't think the reason is going to be for Akello Witherspoon. I'll talk about that coming up here. But here's Emmanuel Sanders. He's our interview of the day. He was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday. We understand that you can't listen to every single minute of every single show. We always have great interviews every day. And Emmanuel Sanders, wide receiver for the 49ers, came on yesterday and had a great interview with the guys. Take a listen.
He is a Super Bowl champion, a two-time Pro Bowler, and we're very happy to welcome back to Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Emmanuel, thank you very much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it. How is prep going as you get ready for the big game this weekend?
Prep is going well. I think we have a great game plan, and I'm looking forward to seeing you know, I go out and execute it to a high level and putting up some points. And so that's the only thing that's on my mind is going out and trying to win a game and advancing to the NFC Championship.
There's not a lot of guys on this team who have been to the Super Bowl, and even fewer who have played in a Super Bowl, it feels like. And your experience is something that I would just be leaning on left and right if I was a new guy. I was surprised to see that you were talking about how you lean on some rookies at times, and you know, you basically said that there's never anyone in this league that you can't learn something from.
Yeah, that's how it goes in this league. And I feel like that's how it goes in life in general. The moment that you close your mind off and you think that you've arrived or you think that you know it all, you really start taking steps back. But you know, you try to keep an open mind. You try to learn from everybody. You try to listen to everybody and hear them out and hear their opinions and feel their energy. And I feel like that's what's going on this team as well. You know, we got a lot of guys, obviously. They point to, you know, the veteran guys and say they're the leaders. But, you know, some of the young guys, man, the energy that they bring to our locker room, it's great for the ecosystem of our team. And I'm talking about guys like Deebo Samuel and Kendrick Bourne. These guys is just – every day, you know, they're 22, 23, body's feeling good, and they're just bouncing around the locker room, you know. And it becomes contagious. Energy is contagious. And so, you know, that's what I was pretty much saying is that, you know, I'm learning from these guys as well, and they carry me some days as well in terms of my energy and keeping me going. And so, you know, I've been enjoying, you know, being around those guys a lot.
Energy aside, is there anything specifically that you learned in any one instance that has been something that you have been able to take with you, not only that day, but ever since you heard it?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you know, you say that you learned from the young guys and you were referring to, you know, the energy that they provide. But was there something else that maybe you learned from one of them, whether it was meant to be done that way or inadvertently, that has been something that you've kept with you?
You know, when I first got here, I saw how these guys, man, catch the ball and run through the ball and get a lot of yards after the catch. You know, I know even just being with Kyle, you know, he really preaches aggressive hands. And so, you know, I when I got here, I said, all right, you know, obviously I feel like, you know, I'm one of those possession guys. I said, all right, let me try to take my game to the next level and get yards after the catch. And, you know, and I started doing it. You know, I started doing it. I've had a couple plays this year of yards after the catch, and, you know, I'm hoping it continues throughout the playoffs. And, you know, yards after the catch is huge off in the system. Obviously, Kyle, you know, he can easily, we can move the chains, but at the end of the day, if we can get those explosives, that's huge for his offense as well. And so that's what we try to create. And that's what those guys do really well.
So you mentioned Deebo there, and certainly as a rookie, you expect maybe not a guy to come blasting out of the blocks, but there's no question he's taken his game up a level in the second half of the season. And part of that coincides with when you got here. And by no means am I saying that you're responsible for that, but you have sort of watched him come into his own somewhat. And I'm wondering if there's anything you see from Deebo that you can identify as, man, he figured this thing out and that really helped him take it to the next level.
Well, Deebo's just a baller, and I think second half, more opportunities started coming his way, and he started making the most of them. He started making a lot of plays. And, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, when I first got out here, I really didn't know too much about him, but now the whole league is that warning of you know, how deadly and how much of a threat he is, you know. And I know guys got a scheme for him. I know guys get scared the moment that he touches the ball because they know that it's the opportunity to go to the house. You know, I'm thankful he's my teammate, and I'm not on the other side because I know when he touches the ball, he can go the distance at any moment, and especially because this guy is just a rookie. It's his first year in the league, which you wouldn't be able to tell. You know, even how he comes to practice every day, how he comes to work every day, and I think it's a lot of credit to Wes Welker, our receivers coach, for getting those guys right and letting them understand that this is not college anymore. This is the National Football League. This is a grown man business. And he really sped up the maturation process of both Kendrick and Deebo.
Emmanuel Sanders of the San Francisco 49ers here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. Grown man business indeed. You're a grown man who hasn't had a week off since we kicked off this season. You were traded during a bye week. So how important was this bye week specifically for you, Emmanuel?
It was important. I mean, my body was hurt. I mean, I think Seattle week, I practiced, but I think I might have taken like probably like 7 to 9 reps the entire week of practice. That's because my body was just sore and I was just like, just get me to the game on Sunday. But I was able to go in that game and make a lot of plays. We were able to win it. And so that's what mattered. But I was so happy that we won that game just to give my body a break, to be able to take care of it for a whole week. A lot of people say, what would a week do? But in this nature of business, 24 hours, 48 hours is huge. So when you get 7 days to be able to rehab and recover, that's huge for your body to be able to, try to accomplish something last 3 games, and trying to attain something special and do something special in this city to be able to get my body back, it's everything. So, I'm definitely loving the fact that I was able to do that, and I'm looking forward to going into a game feeling a lot better than I felt the Seattle game.
Emmanuel, you were talking about Joe Staley's resiliency and how he was one of the guys who – he was a 49er when the Seahawks and Niners started hitting over each other over the head with tire irons playing big games. Did you talk to him after the win in Seattle that got you this bye week? Did that mean something maybe more to Staley than maybe anyone else in that locker room?
No, I don't think so. I think it meant a lot to everybody. To go out there and win the NFC West, that's just huge. And I think a lot of the young guys, they enjoyed the caps and they enjoyed the celebration, but they really didn't understand what was going on. And, I remember when I was young, I just thought that this was the NFL. This is how it happens, it takes, for you to be in this league a long time to see that every season is not going to be like this season. This season is special. And I pray it is for the 49ers, but, from my expertise, it didn't happen that way. And so, guys like myself and guys like Joe and guys like, Jimmy, we definitely understand, how special, that was to go up in that tough environment and win the division. And so, I definitely feel for Joe as well, because I know that I definitely want to see this guy win a Super Bowl. And I know he's had a long career, a long successful career, and I just want to send this guy out, with a Super Bowl ring if he decides to retire after this season.
Going back to the bye week and how sort of refreshed and rejuvenated you feel after finally getting a bit of time off, as of today, how close to 100% are you, if 100% is – allowing for the normal bangs and bruises that never go away in a football season? Is this like week 3 to you? Is it like week 6? I mean,
I don't know.
What are we talking?
That's tough. Obviously, it's crazy. Like, when you play at this point of the season, you just got to understand, like, nobody's feeling good, right? Nobody's feeling good. Everybody has some nagging injury. I got big injuries and I got small injuries that I deal with, like all the way down to a finger that's, like, I feel like getting ready to, like, pop out of place, you're just dealing with the injuries. And I think sometimes the fans don't understand. They just see guys out there on the field. They don't even understand what guys are playing through and the stuff that, we got to do to, prepare for a game, to go out and, to play. I remember, in the season, I'm out there with the cracked cartilage in my rib, and every play that I'm getting hit, it just feels like somebody's jabbing a knife off in my ribs. But, you go out and you have to do your job, and that's how this league goes. And that's why I said 24 to 48 hours is important in this business, because in this business where an injury that they say, it takes a month to recover, you in this league you got to recover in 24 hours, 48 hours, and so your body just gets acclimated to the pain and the adjustment. And so it's hard for me to say, I'm here, I'm there. I just know that no matter what level I'm at, like when Sunday comes around, I got to get my body prepared enough to go out and make plays and win ball games, and that's the only thing that's on my mind.
Emmanuel Sanders here on 95.7 The Game. You talk about how guys are just, everyone straps it on, doesn't matter how hurt you are. You're old enough to probably remember a torn pectoral meant you were gone for a year. It doesn't seem to be like that anymore. J.J. Watt just came back from a torn pec, and Kwon Alexander seems to be the guy coming in with his torn pec, and it's amazing how I don't know if this is medicine, the human body, but it feels like injuries that shut guys down for a full year are now, he might be back.
Yeah, I think what happens is even with me and my my Achilles, I mean, you get some guys in this league, me being in the league 10 years, you get some guys in this league, they just built different. You know, they can play through the pain. They can rehab, like when the training room is trying to get them to take their time and they're taking the slow way, these guys are saying, you know what, nah, screw it. Like, I'm about to push my body to a limit that, you know, like nobody ever thought that I could push it to. And those are the guys that play a long time in this league, and those are the guys that are successful because they're built the right way. And when I say built the right way, yeah, you got to be a little bit crazy. You got to be a little bit of a weirdo, so to speak. But we are football players, and that's what it is. You know, I tell people all the time, football is the football arena, and the football players are modern day gladiators, and that's how I see it. Like, we're not normal. It's not meant for us to be normal. If you think it's normal, you shouldn't play football. And so you take a guy like Kwon Alexander. I mean, this guy is built the right way, and I'm looking forward to him getting out there and making plays just like J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt is built the right way. He's a football player, and he understands that. I love playing football, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get back on the field.
That was Emmanuel Sanders with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday. You can hear the rest of that interview at 957thegame.radio.com. Yeah, those guys are just built different. Football players are just built different. What Zach Ertz did, now he didn't have much of a game, but up against the Seahawks, just being able to play with like a couple of cracked ribs and a quote-unquote lacerated kidney. I missed work once because I had a cold. It's like, how these guys do it, man. I don't understand. And, you know, look, I had a different voice when I had the cold, all right? And the voice didn't sound good over the air. And it was a nasty cold. It was a pretty nasty cold. I had to take a lot of medicine. Chilt not everybody. Text line 957-95-888-957-9570. But we've been discussing Akello Witherspoon and whether he's going to be starting on Saturday or not. Yesterday, Akello Witherspoon told the media that he will be starting on Saturday. And then Robert Saleh also spoke to the media and was backing him up for his Week 17 performance when asked about Akello Witherspoon's woes. Because they did give up, you know, four touchdowns in two games, and in those four touchdowns, Akello Witherspoon was on the other end of all of those touchdowns. But here's Robert Saleh backing up Akello Witherspoon.
I'll be honest, when you look at it from on the surface level, it's very easy to see. It's easy, right? There's Akello, there's a guy catching the football, but people don't really understand what happened for that to happen. They don't understand whether or not somebody actually busted for, and he may have been making up for somebody and shouldn't have been there in the first place. So there's a Akello actually, when you go back and look at that tape, played a pretty good football game. There was a couple of situations where he got caught in a bad situation. And so either way, his ability to go just put those to bed and compete his tail off will always define whether or not he can finish and play games at his best. But to say he played a poor game against Seattle would be, I'll be honest with Ollie, it'd be inaccurate.
Now, I was told on the text line that, hey, Steven, if the Niners lose to the Vikings and it's because of Akello Witherspoon, I want you to go on the air on Monday and specifically say that you were wrong and you should not have started Akello Witherspoon, because I'm on Robert Saleh's side with this one. And I'm fine with doing that on Monday, but also I'll tell you the reason. Like, the reason if they do lose, which I don't think they're going to do, by the way, I mentioned yesterday that I do think the score is going to – I do think the Vikings are going to cover that point spread. I don't know what it's at right now. It opened up at 7, and I do think the Vikings are going to cover that. It's not going to move up to where I think it's going to be. I think the Niners are going to win this – I think they're going to win this game 24-20. But if they do lose this game, it'll be because Dalvin Cook gouged their eyes out, the running back. In every one of these games that they've won this season, Dalvin Cook has had some sort of an impact. And not every single one. There's actually one or two where maybe it was a little questionable during those wins. But looking at the wins here, 21 for 111, two touchdowns. That was in week one. That was their win against Atlanta. The win against Oakland, 16 rushes for 110 yards with one touchdown. He also had four receptions on that day as well. In the win against the Giants, now these aren't that great of teams, mind you, but still, 21 for 132, no touchdowns. 16 for 41 in the win against Philadelphia. We know Kirk Cousins went off that game, but he did have a touchdown. 25 for 142 with two touchdowns. That was a win against Detroit. And then 23 for 98 with one touchdown. He also had five receptions for 73 yards. That was in a win against Washington. And then in a win against Dallas, 26 for 97 with one touchdown. He also had seven receptions on that game for 86 yards. In a win against Denver, 11 for 26, but he still had a touchdown. He still had five receptions for 31 yards. In a win against Detroit, 18 rushes for 62 yards and a touchdown and two receptions for 13 yards. So I think that in the end, if the 49ers do end up losing, it's just because they were able to get Dalvin Cook going. And those are the matchups that I'm going to be watching out for the most for the not only how the Vikings offensive line is going to be matching up against this ferocious Niners defensive line, but also how the Niners, it's all going to be in the trenches, baby. It's all going to be in the trenches. How the Niners O-line is going to do against guys like Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin. Linval Joseph was limited. He's been hurt a little bit, but he was limited in practice. So it looks like Linval Joseph could be going. Eric Kendricks at middle linebacker. Going to be looking what's going on in the trenches for the most part. But if they get Dalvin Cook going and give him the tempo, we'll see. But also, don't be too disparaged. If the first drive ends up in a touchdown, well, two years ago, during the Minneapolis Miracle, if you remember, the Minneapolis Miracle where Stephon Diggs caught that ball over Marcus Williams, the guy who also just completely took the wrong angle on that tackle on George Kittle. And in the Minneapolis Miracle, that game happened against the Saints. It was at home. It was in Minnesota, and they won that game. But then the next week, they go into Philadelphia. They score a touchdown on their first drive. And then after that, it went pick six, two punts, fumble, and a punt. And the defense gave up two touchdowns and a field goal. And in the second half, two turnovers on downs and an INT. Then the Eagles won that 38-7. Then you know the rest is history from there. But the situation, though, with Dalvin Cook and how the 49ers are going to stop the run, that's what the emphasis is going to be put on. But it's also going to be up to Kirk Cousins to see if they can actually execute the play action properly. And Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs are going to be running around. Kyle Rudolph is just going to be taking up space down the middle of the field. So I really don't think that if the 49ers do lose, it would be because they decided to start Akello Witherspoon. I think it would be because a whole bunch of other reasons. That's just me. And Chris, I don't have enough time to play this sound, but Chris Sims, he's a great NFL analyst. He talked about how Jimmy G has the edge over Kirk because nothing phases him. Well, look, at this point, and normally I agree with everything Chris Sims says, and I still agree with this, I would take Jimmy G over Kirk Cousins, but I think that's a disrespect to Kirk Cousins right now. As far as I'm concerned, the Niners are 0-0 in the playoffs, and the Vikings are 1-0. That's it. I'm not even looking at the past and if the moments are too big for him, because this Saints game was one of the biggest moments of his career, and he stepped up and made that big play to Adam Thielen in overtime and then dropped that little fade route to Kyle Rudolph to close out the game. So right now, I think that's a little bit of a disrespect to Kirk Cousins, and this is going to be more of a discussion for tomorrow, but I do want to know that, I mean, this is Jimmy Garoppolo's first home game as the 49ers franchise guy. All eyes are going to be on him. All the criticism is going to be on him. This is truly the test now. This is real. This is real for Jimmy Garoppolo. So now I'm wondering if he seems to actually be fazed by this moment. What are you going to think of Jimmy Garoppolo going forward? And the 49ers do lose, and Jimmy Garoppolo seems to be, you know, just making questionable decision after questionable decision. Or is he going to be the same Jimmy Garoppolo that we've always seen during the regular season? It's not going to matter whether it's a playoffs or not. It's just another football game for him. That's going to be more of a discussion for tomorrow, though. So from the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795, I do want to know from you. But from the 510, I hope Witherspoon gets a pick six to shut up the haters. And I think that's what he hopes for, too. All right. Coming up will be Jolo and Dibs. And I'm going to do this every day until this happens, but San Francisco Giants go out and sign Jason Castro as a catcher, 33 years old, played at Stanford, or go ahead and sign Marcelo Ozuna. That's my Giants talk for the day. Jolo and Dibs coming up. They're going to have Scott Pioli at 6:30. Then we have a mystery guest, Duzlo No, at 7:45. And then I'm looking forward to this one more than anything, but Terry Bradshaw at 8:40. I'm very entertained by all those guys on Fox. Can't wait. Scott Pioli, 6:30. Mystery guest, 7:45. Terry Bradshaw, 8:40. Jolo and Dibs coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.